Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Annie, and I'm with Shannon.
Hello.
And welcome to the first episode of These Four Walls.
Hey. We've decided to make a podcast for people like us who want to talk about the things that keep cropping up on our WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, so things like relationships, things like how to make our wardrobes more amazing, and also kind of schooling ourselves on all the news and issues affecting us today. Oh, and of course, we'll be getting some like really cool guests in as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a women's hour, but for people who still go out, right?
Yeah. Okay, so kind of like a girl's thing in like half an hour?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, so what have we got coming up this week?
Well, Annie Jin, this week we're going to be quizzing a stylist about what we should all be wearing. We're going to be debating the Twitter hashtag MyPillStory. And then we're going to be chatting, but mostly kind of challenging Penn Badgley to a game that we've made up, which is really exciting. And then we're going to be taking to the streets and getting everyone's opinion on ghosting.
Okay, cool. Let's get on with it then. So I'm just walking from my desk to the fashion team to find one of the stylists. Jo, where's Nat?
She's in the fashion cupboard.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, off to the cupboard. Nat, are you in here?
Annie, I'm standing right next to you.
Okay, hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Okay, there's clothes everywhere in here. What are you working on?
I'm just starting a shoot for the next issue of the magazine.
Okay, amazing. Right, I want to know what's everyone wearing right now. What should I be wearing? What are the key pieces? What's cool? Please tell me.
I think that the piece that everyone is wearing, like in the office, street style, celebs, everyone, is the hoodie.
The hoodie?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. The hoodie's quite casual.
Yeah.
So how
comfort.
Can you make... Yeah, well, number one, comfortable.
Comfort okay. over everything.
That's really good. But how can you make the hoodie look not like something you're wearing just at the weekend and like slobbing out on your sofa?
I think one of the ways that you can style it to make it not look so casual is just dressing up with a pair of heels, so like an oversized hoodie as a dress.
Okay.
And a pair of heels.
So is that what it is? Is it about that shape then? So really slouchy and quite big.
Yeah, so I think oversized is definitely like a shape that's been coming through for the last few seasons, but it's like here to stay for sure.
And is that because of Vetements? So isn't everyone's looking at this show Vetements?
Yeah.
So why are they suddenly cool right now?
I think one of the reasons is because they came out of Paris, and I think it's quite an unconventional brand to come out of the Paris fashion scene. So they're a group of six designers, a design collective, based in Paris, making really cool like streetwear.
Yeah, because there's a lot of street style photos with people wearing them, and I think isn't what they're known for. They sort of deconstruct ordinary pieces.
Yeah.
So they've got like two pairs of Levi's and they've made them into a new pair of jeans. Mm. And that's why everybody's loving them at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. They've created like a new way to wear streetwear as like a luxury item.
And who's wearing them right now that's cool? Because I mean, Rihanna, she makes it look elevated.
Yeah, there was a, I think there was a street style picture of her wearing the Vetements oversized hoodie. I think she was just wearing them with Converse. So you can wear, like, she was wearing it as a dress, but then just with Converse or like some trainers. So I think you can definitely, you don't have to wear heels with like an oversized hoodie all the time to make it not look as casual. There's different ways that you can style it. I know one of the ways that I style my oversized hoodie is with a, it's like a goldy and bronze like jacquard skirt.
Yeah,
and you can just see like the end of the skirt, okay, like so coming just, through. Yeah,
so wear it with something a bit more luxe.
Yeah,
that's the way to make it.
Yeah, I think that's as well like one of the things that's like big right now is wearing like the mix of like sportswear and like luxe items together, and it's not like a weird thing to see. Okay. Like on the catwalk.
Right,
or
I'm going to wear my hoodie to work then tomorrow. And also everyone around the office is wearing ruffles.
Yeah.
So everyone's wearing all of these like even oversized ruffles on tops, on dresses. I mean, I'm not very girly. So if you're like in the way I dress, so if you're not really like that, how can you make ruffles not too girly?
Well, we're seeing ruffles on loads of different like textures and fabrics as well. So there's like ruffled denim shirts,
okay,
and you know, ruffles on like jeans, or like even wearing, mixing ruffles, even if it was like just a normal white shirt, there's like a really nice white shirt on site that has like ruffles on the sleeves, and then mixing it with like a pair of distressed jeans and some trainers.
Okay, that's quite good because denim is kind of my comfort zone.
Yeah, I can see you in that outfit. Yeah, actually,
and also that's quite a good update on a white shirt.
Yeah,
so just right, okay, I can do hoodies and I can do ruffles, but also I want to talk to you about vintage.
Mm, okay.
Because you get such amazing vintage finds. Where do you get them from?
At Goodwill, which is in LA.
Like, okay, because you just come back from LA.
Yeah.
So what vintage treats did you get when you were there?
Oh my goodness, so many. What was my favourite things? I got this like amazing, this wasn't from Goodwill, this was from a vintage shop in Burbank.
So is that another good place?
Yeah,
to go,
yeah,
to?
That's okay. A really good place. And I think it's cheaper as well. Goodwill's really cheap, but then like in Burbank, like it's more like true vintage.
Okay, making mental note, go to
and
LA and shop where Nat shops vintage. Okay.
I got this amazing like green, it's like mixed green crochet dress, like maxi dress, and it's from the 1920s. This woman called Joy sold it to me.
Joy,
she was amazing. She was like teaching me about vintage and like what's vintage and what's not vintage.
Did she own a vintage shop?
Yeah, she was like telling me how she'd been on the street for like 30 years and she was like the oldest seller of vintage on that road, and she like costume designer for Mad Men like bought all of the stuff
amazing.
From her, and like yeah, she was telling me all this story. She was amazing.
So you got a really cool like maxi,
yeah, so
because crochet is really big for summer,
yeah,
as well. You
yeah.
could wear that on the beach.
Definitely.
Or you could,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that's something that I'll be wearing.
And how about if you can't get to LA, like I can't go to LA right now, but online, where's the best place to get vintage
online? Etsy's really good for like quirky like sportswear brands or like stuff that you would never find like
okay.
anywhere else. Where else is good? ASOS Marketplace is also really good because they have loads of smaller boutiques set up really organically by like people, you know, either in their homes or like selling stuff.
Yeah, you can get stuff on there that you wouldn't find anywhere
yeah.
else. It's kind of
yeah.
you can have that unique item that
yeah,
your friends might not have. Cool. Right, well I'm gonna go dig out a hoodie and wear it to work tomorrow, and with some ruffled jeans.
I can't wait to see.
That is a great outfit. Okay, see you later.
Thanks, Annie. Bye.
Bye.
So that was Annie talking to Nat, who is probably one of the best dressed people in the ASOS office. If you want to see more of her, you can stalk her on Instagram at Natalie Raw, and that is Natalie with an IE and Raw like a lion would roar. So next up is the part where we get people's opinions on the complicated topics of stuff like relationships, dating, lack of dating, love, whatever. So this week, how to deal with someone going cold, basically ignoring all of your messages. What do you do if you've been ghosted?
If you've been ghosted, you just need to ignore them and move on. It's painful, but you'll get through it.
Nothing, I just move on. If this individual doesn't want to talk to you, then you just don't want to talk to you, really.
If I'd been ghosted, that would be it. Over, delete everything. They don't exist anymore.
I would say that you should act kind of cool and just move on, but I would probably get really paranoid and like end up going around their house, like knocking on their door, that kind of thing. So play it cool if you can.
I'd text them again and then I'd start just sending loads of emojis, like the aubergine and the fuzzy head devil, just one at a time until they replied.
It's the first time I was ever ghosted. I then pitched a feature on it for Grazia and wrote about him in Grazia magazine. I really wanted to send it to him, but then I realised we'd only really met twice, so that was a bit weird. But I thought that was quite good, like ghosting revenge.
Don't try, just accept it and move on.
I mean, I guess when I was younger, I would not give up, but I think now you have to, when you grow up, you just realise that it means something, so you just let it go.
I'd ask him, why is ignoring me? Why is not returning my calls? And then I'd call him out on it. I'd withhold my number and ring him up.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been ghosted before. And the funniest thing is, like, when boys think they can do that to you, and then I'm just like, fine, whatever, like, your loss. And then, you know what you do? Like, a few weeks later, you put up a peng selfie, and then your WhatsApp's dinging, and I'm like, nah, mate, you've had your chance.
If I was ghosted, I would get someone better, obviously.
Ignore them, just pretend they never existed. And literally, if they ever try and speak to you again, just say, oh, sorry, do I know you? Or if they ever text you being like, oh, sorry, who's this?
Delete that number straight away.
Delete the number?
Yeah. Say what? Nah. Forget him.
Okay, so people have got pretty strong feelings about being ghosted.
They really do. I think my favourite is just spam them with emojis until they reply to you.
Yeah, that's quite good, actually. So what would you do if you'd been ghosted?
Annie, I feel like you ghost me.
Yeah, I actually... Maybe I'm the ghost.
Yeah, you're a ghost. But I think I've been ghosted, but I have also been a ghost.
So what would you do? I definitely just ghost them back.
I think I'd be in the category that's like, oh, be really cool. And then I wouldn't at all.
Well, and then you start sending messages like, hello.
Yeah.
It's me.
It's me.
Hello. It's me.
Okay, no. Okay, so, well, we're now going to hear from a guy who, let's be honest, probably hasn't been ghosted. You had a chat with Penn Badgley.
I did.
From Gossip Girl and from the band Mother.
Mother spelled with an X.
Yeah, okay. That's quite strange.
M-O-T-H.
And you challenged him to play our new game, What Would You Do If? Our very amazing game. So, yeah, let's hear how he got on. XOXO.
Stop it. Okay, so I'm here with Penn Badgley. Penn, how's it going?
I'm good.
Welcome to ASOS HQ.
Thank you.
So we all know you can act. I think there's not a single girl in the whole of the UK that hasn't seen Gossip Girl. But you can also sing and play guitar. Tell me about Mother. How long have you guys been going?
we've been together for 2 years, mm-hmm. just about October 2013, maybe 2.5 years. We dropped the album. It dropped like hot fire.
You dropped it
February 26th of this year, and I mean, you know, it's been a learning process. It's been a lot of things. I mean, first and foremost, it's a project for all of us, you know. It's not just my band. It's these four guys. And it was born out of friendship between myself and Jimmy Giannopoulos, who's the producer, mm-hmm. and he plays bass live with us. But I mean, you know, it's like R&B and a new wave indie electronic vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who's that babe on the cover of the album?
We don't know.
Where did you find that picture?
We barely know that.
Okay, the cover of Centerfold is this like, it's like 80s, right? Looking,
you know, it's certainly 80s, but it probably was taken in the 90s. Uh-huh. I don't know.
It's some total babe holding a cassette player. It's a good, wait, you don't even know where you found it? Where did someone?
No, I mean, we found it online, but it's got a mysterious, enigmatic vibe to it. And we have no idea who she is. And we presume that.
Maybe she'll get in touch.
Or maybe she won't ever see it. I think it's probably the more likely.
And you're in the UK now doing a tour. How's it going? You played Manchester last night. How's that?
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean,
what's the Mother show like? Is it wild?
Well, right now we're opening for the neighborhood. So, I mean, we're playing for crowds that are right in the crosshairs of the Gossip Girl demographic as well. So it's, you know, it's working in our favor. They've been incredibly responsive. I mean, from the first moment we walk on, it's mm-hmm. really great. And we're you know, I mean, like the past 2 years, the band's been just fleshing out our live set. You know, a lot of the songs are longer and more experimental and heavier live. I mean, even at one point, it was kind of like a psych rock show, and then we had to tone that back.
Bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, as a front man, I feel like I've been going in a million different directions and finally finding my stride. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, that's good. It's exciting. So you mentioned the Gossip Girl fans are still out in force. What's the craziest thing that people have kind of come up to you in the street and said or done? Or is it kind of winding down now?
You know, no, I mean, it's still there, but it's never that crazy.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, like, I can't think of, it's been a while since anything was that crazy. You know what I mean? Like, with people saying stuff that's shocking or alarming, you know. But then, I mean, I don't know, I'm still always shocked at, like, how a girl who's, like, 15 or 16 is obsessed with the show when it started.
Yeah.
She was 5.
Yeah.
You know, 6.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's crazy. That is insane.
That is weird. That
I'm,
is weird.
You know, I'm
that
29 now.
Thought.
I'm 29, and that show started when I was 20.
Whoa, that's mad. Yeah. Really? God, that makes me feel old as well.
Yeah, right. It makes us all feel old.
Yeah.
Except for the listeners.
Cool. All right, Penn, are you ready to play What Would You Do If?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling?
I feel good now.
Okay. So for this part, we are going to ask Penn 3 What Would You Do If questions. Only the difference is we've got the actual answers because we've hit up some experts.
Actual answers.
Actual answers. These are 100% correct. Okay. So, number one, what would you do if you've gone camping, you step out of your tent, and there's a giant bear in front of you?
Am I alone?
Yeah, you're alone.
I'm alone, okay. And I don't know, but I think I would try to make myself big, stare the bear in the eye, throw something at the bear. You know, I mean, I've heard that before. I feel like maybe I would run.
Hang on, you're saying a lot of answers now. Which one?
I don't know. How am I supposed to?
You try. You try and size him up, and then you'd be like, "This isn't working," and you'd run. Yeah.
My split instinct, I think, is to say that. You know what? Actually, here's my answer. I would remain completely motionless.
You just stand there.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we see what our expert said?
Yes.
My name is Johnny Crockett. I work for a company called Survival School, and I'm a survival instructor and wilderness guide, and have been for the last 20 years. Bear attacks is something of a speciality of mine, actually. With a bear attack, it all depends as to what the attack is. If it's a defensive attack, then you just back off, and you don't run. Whatever you do, don't run. Back off, talk nice and calmly, as if you were having a really quiet, calm conversation with Michael Palin or David Attenborough. But just keep it level, calm and soothing, almost like you're talking to a small child, actually. If it is an aggressive one, then fight back. Fight with all your might. Scratch, punch, kick, you name it. But if you kick up enough fuss and you make enough noise, then hopefully you'll be able to frighten the bear into submission. And that has happened, and it does work.
Has he seen The Revenant, this guy?
I think he might have. It is his speciality.
Motionless wasn't a terrible answer.
No, staying calm. You didn't get the talk to it like it's a small child.
No, I mean, I wouldn't think that the bear would appreciate my condescension.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He didn't say run. He didn't say fight. What should we give? Are we doing point? Are we marking this? Should we give Penn a half point? Yeah, have a half point for that.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, number two. What would you do if you've just got back from traveling, you've been traveling the world, you go to unpack and you find a massive snake in your rucksack? It's huge.
So is it like immediately, like, how do I even tame it? How do I even, like, because I'm thinking I want to get it into a bag.
But it's in your bag. Yeah.
Right.
But you could transfer
it's
it.
It's in my bag
to.
Already.
Yeah. You've
you know what? I'd zip it right back up.
Yeah.
I would zip it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call animal control. Just be like, hey, I have a giant snake back from wherever I'm from.
Okay, should we see what experts
say? It's pretty simple.
My name is Gareth Bennett. I'm the senior animal presenter, one of our senior animal presenters here at Edinburgh Zoo. As I said, when I first looked at this question, I thought, how you manage to pack your bag without noticing you've got a giant snake in it in the first place? That takes some explaining. Basically, what you would do, I actually worked in China at a snake place where we would deal with big bags of snakes coming in that were seized in people's homes, because obviously they have a problem for venomous snakes in China getting into houses and stuff. Basically, seal the bag up, nice and slowly, walk away, phone either the police or the SSPCA if you're in Scotland. The police tend to also have a wildlife officer in each region also. Don't shake it, don't poke sticks at it, don't even move it. Just if you found it and you can seal the bag up nice and safely, seal the bag up and walk out, shut the door, don't go back in the room.
There we go.
I think he's got it.
I did it. I got
a
point.
He's got it. That's a full point, yeah. What's animal control? We don't have that here.
It's the same thing. It's
you're like, I won. I got that point. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. It's the animal control. What does it sound like? They control animals.
Yeah, but we don't have animal control.
I would call the cops because I don't even know the number for animal control.
Yeah, that's what he said. Right, so you've definitely won. Okay, third question. No animals in this one.
All right.
What would you do if you've got some friends coming over, like five friends, and you've promised them this three-course dinner, but you've only got 20 quid. And I've looked that up for you, and that's $28.76.
Three-course meal.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
For five of us. Six of us, five friends.
Five of us, yeah. Of you.
I'd just be like, listen, guys, I don't have enough. Sorry, man. You know, I'll get you tomorrow. No, I guess I would. Am I cooking? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
So the idea is I'm just.
It's like, what would you make?
Okay, it would involve quinoa because you can get, you know, a box of quinoa for $6.99.
Can you?
Yeah. When I say box, I'm talking to.
I thought it was supposed to be really expensive because it's like the trendy thing.
But, you know, people think that, but it's like if you make it, it expands.
Yeah.
It's water, all that.
Sounds good.
It would involve quinoa, you know, turmeric and rosemary and maybe mushrooms and avocado. See, this is just like one dish. I have no idea how to make.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to answer this? I can't. I'm losing a point. This is an uphill battle.
Well, if we think that yours sounds more appetizing than
but see,
than
you're assuming
Annabelle,
you're assuming
chefs.
I can cook to a degree that's like fine. You know, I'm still I'm a male in my 20s. I feel like this is an unfair question.
All right, should we see? You can learn from the answer. Should we see what she says? Yeah.
So my name's Annabelle. I live in London. I am currently a private chef, and the majority of my time is spent cooking for actors and actresses on film sets. Meat's kind of almost off the cards if you're going to do like a three-course menu. So one idea would be something like a smashed pea and mint bruschetta. So obviously pea's quite cheap, mint's quite cheap, you can grow in your garden, and then the bruschetta, which you can put a bit of garlic and olive oil on, which you'll then use in the main, which I've got something like a garlic, chili, tomato, spaghetti with parmesan cheese and like a really nice fresh green salad. For pudding, to kind of complement all that, a lemon posset, which is simply made of lemon juice, caster sugar, and double cream. And if you had any money left, you could buy a little biscuit to go with that on the side, a nice little crunch, sip into the posset.
Well, you didn't say meat either. That's a half point right there.
Okay, yeah. So the first course is this tiny little crostini thing. All right. Yeah. These things are all so easy. It's all right. I get it.
You can have half a point. Let's not do points. I don't think we should do points.
Yeah, that's merciful.
We're
calling the point system off.
Yeah.
I'm losing horribly.
Points have gone. What did you think of her menu into it?
It sounded good. It's also like, I don't know, it still sounds impractical, frankly.
Cool. Well, that was what would you do if. I keep going to say would you rather, but it's not. It's what would you do if.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I got 2 points.
We'll give you, 2. 1.5. So thanks for coming, Penn.
Yeah, thanks for having
Centerfold is out now. Where can we get it? Where can we hear it?
You can get it online, you know, anywhere. Spotify, iTunes, free. You can pay for it if you want. You can go to mother.com, M-O-T-H-X-R.
Yeah, don't forget that X.
Yeah.
All right, good luck with the rest of the tour, and thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't believe Penn said he'd actually run from the bear. Isn't that like the worst idea ever?
Yeah, although I would have had no... I never in a million years would try and talk to it. I think I'd maybe run as well.
Yeah, talk to it like a small child.
Yeah. Hey, bear.
Yeah, please don't hurt me. No, but also, Shan, how do you say his surname?
Stop it, Annie. I practiced before you came in. Penn Badgley. Sorry, Penn. Not Penn Badgley. Penn Badgley.
Well done.
Thanks.
Saved by the bell.
Phew. So who is that at our non-existent door then, Annie?
I think that will be Georgia Murray.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Georgia. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How much of a babe was Gareth from Edinburgh Zoo?
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah,
he's really great.
He was pretty cool. I think we should all go to Edinburgh Zoo.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Road trip.
So, Georgia, you're going to be joining us every episode to talk about kind of something topical, a news story, an event that we've all been talking about, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So today you're going to be talking about the hashtag that's been trending on Twitter, My Pill Story.
Yeah, did you see much about it? Or?
I saw a bit, but I'm not at all clued up. Are you, Annie?
I saw a bit, but what's it all about? Why has it started the Twitter debate?
So basically, this woman called Holly Brockwell shared her story of this four-year fight she's had with the NHS to try and get sterilised. She basically decided kids weren't for her. And she, took to Facebook to sort of share this with everyone.
Yeah. And then what did people start kind of reacting to that on social media?
Well, specifically, this one dude basically told her to just go on the pill rather than get sterilised.
That's quite annoying.
Yeah. So she then went to Twitter and basically listed some of the all too familiar side effects that the pill is known to cause.
Okay, so how did then that start a hashtag of My Pill Story?
So basically, tech journalist Kate Bevan then asked women to show solidarity with Holly by sharing their own experiences of the pill with the hashtag My Pill Story. Twitter then blew up the responses from women who shared everything from physical, psychological, all of the different effects, both negative and positive, that various contraceptive pills had given them. Basically sparked this whole debate, which centred around the fact that it works for some but can be really awful for others.
So were these stories kind of like people sharing the side effects and stuff?
Yeah, so some of the negative reactions covered stuff from loss of sex drive. One girl said, "Why are so many people not warned about loss of libido on the pill? It can ruin relationships." And some talked about mental health, with one girl saying, "I was depressed, lethargic, dissociated. I slept for 12 hours a day and I was still exhausted." As well as physical effects, like suffered from horrendous acne and severe period cramps. So not great.
Yeah, so not great, really. But was it all negative then, people sharing negative stories?
No, there were some really positive reactions as well. One woman said, "I took it for 30 years, no problems, no one wanted babies. It may not have worked for everyone, but it transformed millions of women's lives." And one woman summed up the kind of beauty of the whole debate by tweeting, "I wasn't aware about the issues so many women face taking the pill. I've had many successful years on it. Thanks for opening up, ladies." So it kind of just showed that online debate could take place on Twitter, and it showed people new perspectives that proved it was positive and negative for a variety of people.
Okay, cool. So it seems like people are getting a bit more open and honest and just sharing their experiences then.
Yeah, which is always a really great thing.
So Georgia, do you know when when the pill first became available?
Yeah, so basically it was just given to married women originally, and that was back in 1961. But then between 62 and 69, around 1 million women were using it, which is obviously huge. And obviously all the sort of associations with the swinging 60s, sexual freedom and liberation. And now I think it's around 100 million women worldwide are on the pill. So it's obviously why it's such a huge conversation.
Yeah, no, I also saw as well, it's quite interesting that men were also using the same hashtag and getting involved in the chat on Twitter. That's quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, it was really nice, actually, for them to be sort of part of the debate. I mean, one guy tweeted about Holly's original point about the double standards of getting sterilised in the first place. And he said, "Remember all those men who became hate figures for having vasectomies? Me neither. Support Holly." Whereas some guys were coming forward. Yeah, so nice. Some guys were coming forward with their experiences of their partners who were on the pill, like this guy. My wife spent 5 days in intensive care due to a blood clot from the pill. And obviously it's super relevant at the moment because the development of the male pill, which seems kind of on the horizon at the moment.
Oh yeah, so what's going on with that?
So researchers at the, wait for it, University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy have said basically that they're in the last stages of fine-tuning the first contraceptive pill for men, which is obviously a massive deal both medically and from a societal point of view. The Telegraph actually did a survey as well, and the results were that 52% of men would try the pill. So I think it's looking quite positive.
Yeah, it's more than you expect.
Yeah.
I guess it'll be interesting to see how that develops then, because it's still a bit of a way off.
Yeah, definitely.
But My pill story, I suppose the ultimate thing is that people are just sharing their stories about how it affects them differently then.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Holly Brockwell, the woman who started the whole thing, tweeted, "For the record, I'm not against the pill. Hashtag my pill story is a response to people who say, just go on the pill, as if it's some kind of cure-all." So even she acknowledges that everyone's different, and I think she just wanted to spark this debate, which has proved really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for filling us in, Georgia.
No worries.
Yeah, thanks for schooling us on what's happening on Twitter.
Yeah. We'll see you next episode when you'll be teaching us something else trending.
Yeah, see you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. So that brings us to the end of our first episode of These Four Walls, an ASOS podcast.
Yay.
Yes. High five.
Woo.
Woo. Thanks, Shan. So remember to subscribe on iTunes, Acast, or your favourite podcast app.
And thanks to all the people who gave their opinions on ghosting, to our What Would You Do If experts, to Penn Badgley, who I don't think would do so well in a bear attack, of course, our lovely ASOS stylist Nat, and super informative Georgia.
Yeah, thanks to all those people. And join us again next episode for more chat from These Four Walls.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.